Paul to Timothy says, you then, my son, someone say, my son, be strong. Come on, who needs to hear that word? Be strong. Turn to neighbor and say, be strong. Come on, turn to the other neighbor and say, you are strong. Go ahead, just turn to someone else and say, you are strong. You're strong. Easy. Okay, easy. I see you over there, Tila. Are we still in church? All right, calm down. Praise the Lord. Newly married love. Praise God. All right. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people. Your Bible might say to faithful people who will also be qualified to teach. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier. Someone say soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officers. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete, someone say the athlete, does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer, someone say farmer, here it is. We're reaching the thrilling conclusion of this passage. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying. All right, Brother Paul, the church will. For the Lord will give you insight into all of this. I pray that he does. Here we go. Soldier, athlete, farmer, part three. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Help me to preach your word again, faithfully and true. Lord, give me fresh insight. Lord, to speak what you want to speak through us and to us, Lord. Pray that we don't walk out of here the same way that we walked in, God, but you'd help us to be all that you've called us to be, your bride, your beautiful bride. Lord, help us to fulfill the call that you have before every single one of us. And Lord, whatever people need during this short time that we have together, I mean, the service is, I think, like an hour, 20, hour, 30 minutes. I just thank you, Lord, that it's in this little block of time in our day and in our week, as we offer as a first fruit to you, Lord, that when you're put at the center of it, you can grab a hold of it and turn it into so much more. Pray for a harvest of righteousness as the word goes forth. Pray for salvation be upon your house this morning, Jesus. It's in your mighty name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Before you grab your seat, just turn to someone and just tell them, I like the way you pray. Go ahead. Just say, I like the way you pray. I like the way you pray. Praise the Lord. Amen. What are you looking forward to? Are you excited? Is spring? I heard someone say, what are you looking forward to? I heard someone say pickleball. You know, I've heard that's the fastest growing sport in America. Pickleball. Anybody play pickleball? Really? Yeah, it transcends generations. Praise God. So my neighborhood has a pickleball court. So if somebody wants to teach my wife and me how to play, we will take you down. Give us a week. We will take you down. Isn't that right, babe? We're not lying. Give us a week. We will crush any competitors. Amen? We're like soldiers about it. We're athletes. Farmers? We're going to roll up our sleeves like a farmer playing pickleball. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To recap where we've gone so far in this series, we talked about the soldier, and the soldier is about resiliency. We talked about this athlete who's disciplined. Praise God. Anybody blessed by the sermon last week? Anybody? Yeah, it was? Blessing? Okay, cool. Today we're going to talk about the farmer. The paradigm of this passage is Paul encouraging young Timothy to walk in strength. Amen? It's a good charge as believers that we need to be encouraged to walk in strength. Amen? Amen? I love it that the Christianity is about the strength of Christ Jesus, that even when we do feel weak, our weakness is made perfect in his strength. And so we're charged to be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. It's why we can be called more than overcomers in our Christian walk. Amen. Because things are going to come, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit and the strength of Christ Jesus in us, we can be called prevailers in life. Amen. And so that's kind of the backbone of this passage of scripture here, that we're not people who live based on whims or just when we're feeling inspired to walk out this Christian life, but we're people who live this Christian life out of duty, out of discipline, and out of determination. Now, most of us don't really have a familiarity with farmers, I don't think. Any farmers? Eh? No? Yeah, probably not. Especially out here in the West End. Someone say, West End? West End? Anybody from Goochland? Praise the Lord. Oh, shout out the Gooch Gang. Praise the Lord. Yay, yay. You farm? Garden. Praise the Lord. Okay. Any gardeners in the house? You pumped about that garden. What do you garden? Beans, greens, tomatoes, potatoes. Tomatoes. Hey, listen. How many people want to call his bluff right now? I want to see a basket of tomatoes and zucchinis next Sunday. We're going to throw it on. You would say that. Praise God. All right, so I guess we do got some farmers in the house. Praise the Lord. But though we might not have a lot of attaches to this agricultural lifestyle, in Jesus' day and in his earthly ministry, everyone there would have had some familiarity with farming in their everyday life. And so, he speaks through parables, and he talks about farming quite often, actually. And so we're going to take it to one of the most well-known parables from Jesus in the scripture, and it's out of Matthew chapter 13. And your Bible probably titles this passage of scripture the parable of the four soils. The parable of the four soils, okay? Do you have your Bible? Okay, if you don't, it's all good. Big screen Bible coming at you. Here we go. Matthew chapter 13. It says, Jesus left his house. He sat beside a lake, and a large crowd soon gathered around him. I love Jesus. People love being around Jesus. You notice that? And so he got into a boat, and he sat there, and he taught as the people stood on the shore, and he told many stories in the form of parables such as this one. I'd love to just be chilling with Jesus, hearing all of the Jesus stories that he told. Wouldn't that be so cool? He says, listen. A farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath. Someone say footpath. Not a footbath, a footpath. And the birds came, and they ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil. Someone say shallow soil with underlying rock, and the seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns. Someone say thorny. And it grew up and choked out the tender plants. And still other seeds fell on fertile soil. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking fertile today. Praise the Lord. Other seeds fell on fertile soil. What? You probably shouldn't have said that. That's so weird. That is so weird. Other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. You jump to verse 16, and Jesus, in one of the few times we see it in Scripture, hello, Mrs. Hirschfield. Welcome back. Come back for a second go, have you? You left something. Now, you had to take your husband to the airport, and you came back for a second portion? There was a right answer to that question. That wasn't it. It's all good. He begins to tease out and explain this parable in verse 16. And Jesus, talking to the disciples, says, blessed are your eyes because they see, and blessed are your ears because they hear. And I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Lord, let us be a people who see what God wants us to see and hear what God wants us to hear, okay? Now, verse 18, he begins to lay out the explanation of this parable. He says, listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom of God, but they don't understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. Verse 20, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and they immediately receive it with joy. That's good. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Verse 22, it says that the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but they all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and by the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. Lastly, verse 23, just like Jordan, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, of 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Okay, what is the seed? What is the soil? The seed is the gospel. The seed is the good news. The seed is the truth about the kingdom of God. And this is the seed that we want people to hear. Can I get an amen? Like, as Christians, how many Christians do we have in the house? Okay, it's all good. Hey, maybe you're not one. Praise the Lord. Welcome. We're going to actually pray with you and for you at the end of service, like we do every week, that you actually might come to know what it is to be a Christian. Is that cool? All right, cool. But for us who say we're Christians, would you agree that we want to see the seed, the gospel seed of truth about the kingdom of God for people, the truth of what Jesus did, the perfect work of Christ Jesus on the cross? We want people to receive that seed. Amen? Like, we want the kingdom advance. We want to plunder hell, and we want to populate heaven. Can I get an amen? So we want the seed going forth. And so the soil, if that's the seed, what is the soil? The soil is the different types of people and the different types of responses to the gospel. It's the different responses to the seed. If you ever tried to plant anything, you know you need different things in different soils to receive different things out of different seeds. And so Jesus is showing you, man, that there's all kinds of different responses to the seed of the gospel, all right? So let's talk about it. Number one, the seed that fell on the footpath are people who don't understand what they heard. So the seed is sown, and they come across it, they hear about it, maybe shown it, if you will, but they don't understand. They come across the gospel truth or come across a Christianity, another Christian, and they hear this message, but they just don't understand it. More and more in our modern era, this is going to be the reality that we come across as believers who are charged with scattering seed. More and more, people are not going to come from this nominal default Christian worldview. And so if you're going to talk to them about church and talk to them about Jesus and talk to them about the gospel good news that they have been forgiven and set free, they're just going to, more and more, you're just going to be like, huh? Say, what? What are you talking about? You ever talk to someone and just say, hey, you should come to church? And they'd be like, for what? Like before, if you say, hey, you know, I mean, even when I started coming, like when I first got saved, right, some 16 years ago, I kind of knew, like, Christianity. Yeah, it was like a church. I kind of understood it, right? And so somebody would say, hey, you should come to church. Yeah, I'm like, I get it. But, you know, even then, I'd be like, for what? Now that's more and more prevalent. Like, come to church. For what? Why? What for? And so what do we do? Well, doesn't change really our response in a sense from we're still called to sow seed. We got to be people who keep sowing seed. Now, the beauty of this is that God says that one plants, another waters, but it is God who brings it to harvest. Now, the cool part of this is, like, when you sow seed, you don't have to be the closer. You just got to sow seed. And it's amazing how God will often use somebody else to reap that harvest, even though you've been sowing seed the whole time. I want to encourage you. Don't be mad. Be glad. For me, I came to Christ because I'm from Virginia Beach, and I used to work at this surf shop, right? Long hair down to here, long hair, don't care. And there was this guy. He's coming to the shop all the time. Super annoying little kid. And he was my age, and he used to be like, hey man, like, you know, wow, this is cool, man, you're so cool, this is a cool shop, man, like, you should really come to church with me. And I'd be like, oh, cool, man, that's awesome. And he'd keep asking me, he'd keep coming, hey, you should come to church. I was like, for what, man? For what? Ultimately, one day I had to like just tell him straight up, like, listen, I'm not going to come to church with you. It's not happening. I don't want to do that. That was me. For real. He says, you should come, man. It's called Wave Church. It's nearby. I was like, cool. Just blew him off. Then switched jobs, started at a different job, and it was this like bar kind of restaurant vibe, and I was working, and there was this other person I worked with, and she started doing this whole thing, but I was surprised because she seemed like, I don't know, normal. And she said, yeah, you're pretty cool. I was like, oh, thanks. You should come to church with me. I was like, for what? And she says, I go to this place called Wave Church. I think you would like it. I was like, Wave Church? I've heard about that church. Super annoying kid. Used to ask me to church all the time. Wave Church. And it clicked. And it's amazing because I wonder if that seed would have come to harvest in that time if that other kid hadn't been continuing to sow that seed. Amen? We got to be people who are carriers of the seed of the gospel in and through our lives. And sometimes I think we make it more complicated than it has to be. I think we have to have the full explanation and have our theology game like fully figured out before we can like tell someone about Jesus or invite them to church. Like, church is a great invitation, by the way. You ain't got to have it all figured out. The person that invited me, that compelled me to come, she didn't have no kind of answer. She would say, you should come. I think you would like it. And I came. And I gave my life to the Lord. In the very first service, the guy that was like, church, Jesus, for what? Heard the gospel. Brought to a place of conviction. And brought to a place where I said, I am woe to this world in me. I need Jesus. My life has not been the same ever since. Amen? And so, it's not that spiritual. Seriously. Why are we making, why are we got apparel now? I promise you, it's not for clout. I promise you, it's not to make money. We gave away 4 shirts today. Hale put the budget together for that. He's already like, we're in the red already just from giving away those 4 shirts. He's like, we were supposed to break even. You're only supposed to give away 1 shirt of service. Praise the Lord. Look, we're already in the negative. But you know what? It's a seed. That's seriously all it is. It's a seed. Now, if we go back to the passage, right, of Paul to Timothy, I love what he says this. He says, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. I was like, what does that mean? A farmer is to receive first. Well, Paul regularly talks about this truth that those who do labor in the work of the gospel, they should enjoy of the fruit, both spiritual and even natural blessings. Amen? But to me, you know what this makes me think of? It's this truth that it is God who supplies seed to the sower. It is God who supplies seed to the sower. So on one hand, if you're someone that sows godly seed in your life, God's gonna continue to ensure that you've got seed to sow. But you know what else it makes me think of? It also makes me think about this. You can never be one who sows seed until you're one that's received seed. How can I tell you to sow something that you've never even received? And so, for us, I want to tell you, ask you this question, have you received of the seed that God's calling you to sow? Have you truly received of the seed that God's wanting you to sow? Because for me, my understanding of this and the things of God is you will never be able to tell people about the goodness of God's seed until you have first tasted of the goodness of God's seed. You know, I used to work in restaurants, and I used to work in like fancy restaurants. Okay, no big deal, but I waited tables, but I waited at fancy places, okay? But the cool thing is I would work at these like fine dining establishments, right? And hours before the shift would start, they'd ask us waiters and waitresses to come in, and the chef would prepare all the specials. Who loves specials? Amen. Come on. I love specials. And they'd prepare all the specials and they put it on this table. And every shift, we got to partake of that night's specials before anybody else. I'm telling you, these were some good specials too. You know what I'm saying? None of that farm-raised stuff. Okay? Wicked wild-caught fish. Praise the Lord. All right? Amen. And it changes your whole perspective, because now I don't go from being somebody who goes up to the table and just say, let me tell you about tonight's specials. We got this, and this comes with this, and that's cool. And then our other special, we also got one of these, and it changes your whole game. We would partake. We would taste of this thing. So then we walk to the table, and we start being like, can I tell you what's on special tonight? Let me tell you about it. Listen, we got, oh my goodness, y'all. We got some pork shoulder, like a boulder, with some apricot jam in there, and some asparagus just stuffed up in the middle, rolled around like a baby leg. Praise the Lord. You need to take a bite of this thing. What? What is that? What is that? What is that pork that's just like real melty, buttery when you bite into it? What is that called? Ooh, tenderloin. Listen, can I tell you about the tenderloin tonight? Listen, you don't even need a fork. Put your bare fingers in that thing and partake. It will bless you. It will change your whole life. Silly, right? Silly. We have some people, right, who are called to scatter seed. And they're just like, yeah, man, I'm a Christian. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. Jesus, you should come to church. I do it. You should come. You should do it every week for the rest of your life. Praise the Lord. Tonight's specials are. But things change when you have tasted and have seen the goodness of God in your life. It goes from just being hearsay and secondhand to, can I tell you, I have been set free by the blood of the Lord. Can I tell you about my church? It's changed the entire legacy of the lineage of my line and of my life. I've historically in my life walked through curses and walked through poverty and walked through walls, but because of the goodness of God, because of being planted in his house, I know what it means to be blessed. I know what it means to be forgiven. I know what it means to be set free. I am a new man because of how Jesus has apprehended me. Changes everything. When you got a first-hand taste it and see, Paul to the Corinthians says, I have received of the Lord, which I also deliver unto you. You need to hone in on your testimony. Because if you've truly tasted and seen, changes how you spread your seed. It changes it. In the last days, in Revelation chapter 12, 11, it says, they triumphed over the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and, this is crazy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. There's a power in your testimony, y'all. There's power in your testimony. And if we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony, you know what it says to me? Church, we better work on our testimony. We better have our testimony figured out. We better practice sharing our testimony because it better not just be like, hey, you know, you should do this thing. No thanks for what? To figure out, hey, this is why I do what I do. This is why I put my faith and my hope and my trust in Jesus. I don't care what it takes. Figure out your story. Practice telling it. Go grab some stuffed animals. Walk into the woods. Set them down by a tree trunk and try. Stop trying to get them stuffed animals saved in the name of Jesus. Yeah, I say that because one of the greatest soul winners, evangelists in the history of mankind, arguably, is a man named Reinhard Bonnke. He's led millions and millions. I've always wanted to do that. That's for a few people. He's led millions of people to the Lord. The man would show up all across the world, just Africa, Asia, Europe. He'd just show up. Get me the biggest open field you can find. He's South African. And And hundreds and thousands of people would show up on the scene. And they would hear the gospel. And they would come by the tens of thousands to repent and receive salvation in the name of Christ Jesus. And the way he started was he just said, as a young man, he would take these stuffed animals, go out into the woods, set them down against a tree, and he'd preach to them and says, repent of your sin, give your life to Jesus. That was the genesis of this man being able to lead millions of people to Christ. And I just wonder, if we truly believe we're called to bring seeds to this world and to people who just say, I don't understand, we better be the ones who do understand. We better be the ones who do understand. Amen? Second type of soil is a rocky soil. The rock. See? It's on purpose. The rocky soil is a hard soil. To me, it's about a hardened heart. In verse 20, it says, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message, and they immediately receive it with joy. Yay! That's good. But, someone say that's a big old but. But, since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away. When? Listen, they fall away as soon as they have problems. As soon as they have problems. Or are persecuted for believing God's word. These are the people, good-meaning people. And they do. They rush to respond to the invitation to follow Christ Jesus. And I believe for most, it's completely sincere. But what happens when you aim to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, and then you come across, inevitably, some problems? A.W. Tozer once said, it is my opinion that tens of thousands, if not millions, have been brought into some kind of religious experience. I want an experience. Janelle Monáe right there. And they have never been saved. Wonder how many of us get into this Christian life thinking, I do it for the blessing. I do it for the good stuff. I do it so I can have a built-in social circle. God, I'm a follower of Jesus now. Everything's just going to line up and be pretty easy for me. I think I got it all worked out now. But Jesus in John chapter 16:33 says this, in this world, you will have trouble. You want to hear about a promise of God? He promises you're going to face trouble in this life. You will have trouble, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And so we have a group of people who come across the gospel, but they just say, I don't understand it. We better understand it. And then there's another group of people, they just say, man, I like it. This sounds good. I have a genuine maybe encounter with the Lord, but in the beginning stages of wanting to aim and follow after him, they think it's going to be all hunky-dory, peachy keen, and then what happens inevitably, always, problems will come. Problems are coming for you in this life. He didn't promise the problems wouldn't come. He just promised that you can take heart because he's overcome the world. And so for some of us, maybe you find yourself and you say, man, I don't know what it is, but I feel like I might have a bit of a hardened heart. What do you do? What hardens our heart? Amen? Disillusionment, disappointment, discouragement. Who's ever been disappointed? Yeah, praise God. And what happens is we get disappointed in God. Because he doesn't show up exactly how we thought he would. Lord, I should have had my spouse by now. Prayed about it. I feel like you told me in a prayer moment that 2.5 years from now, I'd have my spouse. Disappointed in you. And we get a hardened heart because we think God is a slot machine. We grow disillusioned. Maybe not even with God, but with people. People who we look to maybe for spiritual guidance and spiritual mentorship and spiritual leadership. And for whatever reason, you know, what tends to happen is not everybody makes it, we discover. And we have someone that we were genuinely encouraged with, maybe led by, even in the faith, and not everyone's going to make it. We grow disillusioned because of people. We grow disillusioned with the gospel and with God. Discouragement, even, from offense. So much so that the Bible talks about bitterness as being a root of offense. And so what do? If you know anything about weeds and roots, you know when it's first formed, you know about this, Brother Jeremy, right? When it first formed, you pluck them. It's a satisfying pluck. Be like even like sometimes it snaps back at you. It's just like, ooh, that was satisfying. But what happens if you leave it there to be? Oh boy, does it spread. And it grows roots, and now you can't just pluck it. You got to get in there. I have leaned in trying to get some roots out and pulled it. It kept going. I couldn't even figure out where this thing began. That's what a root of bitterness is like in our heart. It's if we don't pluck that thing early on, it starts to grow roots, and we don't even remember why we were so bitter or how we could become this bitter now. Can I tell you, there's some roots we need to pluck. Turn your neighbor and say, come on, what you need to pluck? Turn your neighbor and say, what you need to pluck? There's a good root that needs to be, though. There's roots that do need to be planted, but they ought not to be roots from the weeds. They need to be roots from the seed. Here's what a seed looks like in germination on the back screen. And what you'll notice here is the title of the sermon is The Soldier, the Athlete, and the Farmer. It's not supposed to be easy. It's really not. There's some grain. There's a runner. There's a bullseye because soldiers shoot you. Here's a seed. And what you see here, this is a seed. This is how it grows. Have you ever seen this before? Look at that thing. Just giddy up, going down, growing out. Look at this thing. Wide. It keeps growing wide. This is so amazing. I don't know how they filmed this. Probably with a glass screen. I see it now. Okay. And then it starts growing up, and soon you see that it starts to bear leaves and fruit, and in a moment you'll see these leaves start to worship the Lord. Look at it, praise God. Look at it, just praising God right there. See that little head? Just praising God. That says something about us. That's pretty cool. What happens to the soil, the seed with the hardened soil? It says, verse 21, but since you don't have deep roots, that seed doesn't last long. So to me, what we need to be mindful of is we need to make sure that we've established a deep root system so that when life does throw problems our way, we will still bear fruit. What's crazy to me about that seed illustration is that the seeds always grow down and out before it grows up. We get so concerned about wanting to bear the fruit, but God is showing us, what are you growing roots in downward and outward? We sang this morning, I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground. I want to ask you, as we plant our seeds down, are you planting it down in the sure foundation that is Christ Jesus? When problems come your way, have you built your life on the sand or have you built your life on the rock? Plant it down. When a bad report comes your way, come on. Where are you going to for answers? Because if you're planted on the promises of God as your rock, if you're planted, your roots are going down, it doesn't matter when problems come your way. To me, going outwards means, do you have brothers and sisters in Christ as you grow out that are going to be there to help sustain and walk with you when problems do come your way? Amen? We got to fly through it. Number three, the thorny soil is about worry and the lure of wealth. Verse 22, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. What's crazy to me is that we will want wealth so much, thinking we want this produce, we want this fruitfulness, but Jesus says, the more you try to pursue this as your chief aim, the less fruit you end up producing in this life. And to me, there's no problem with having money so long as you know that money doesn't have you. There's nothing wrong with being blessed so long as that you know that you're blessed to be a blessing. The biggest difference between being blessed versus being someone who is greedy is generosity. Generosity is the antidote to greed. You never have to worry about being caught in the snare of wealth if you're a generous person. Now, what it says to me here is that he says that the wealth is a lure. Wealth is alluring. Amen? Now, who said they like fishing earlier? Someone said, my man right here. Okay, what do you try to catch? Whatever you will bite, praise God. You're a bass fisherman? I knew that. Just looking at you, I can tell. Bass fisherman right there. What kind of bait you use? Lots, all kinds of different things. Depending on. Yeah. And so you know there's different lures. Catch different things. Right? Jesus is wanting to show us that the wealth is like a lure. And what is the point of a lure? The point of a lure, catch you, hook you, and pull you in. And so Jesus is simply saying this. There's nothing wrong with wealth so long as that wealth is not a lure to your life. So long as that wealth is not something that is catching you, that wealth is ultimately not so alluring to your life that it lures you away from the purposes of God. Because if all you're worried about is, do I have enough? I tell you what, man, that worry, that lure of wealth, it's going to start to crowd out the gospel seed that the Lord wants to germinate and come to harvest in your soul. And suddenly, where you once found yourself, man, so thankful for every small blessing of God, you found yourself just concerned with wealth and do I have enough? And you find yourself chasing and chasing and chasing and ultimately finding yourself wondering, why can I not produce a harvest anymore? Worst thing coming up, because the last one is this, the good soil. There's good news on the end of this. I think we got to get through some more bad news. The good soil produces a great harvest. Amen? Now, here's the last bit of bad news, I think, is if we account for the four types of soils, only one of the types of soils is called the good soil. That's a 25% success rate. Not a good success rate. Amen? Now, it's talking about everyone who hears the word of the Lord. It says about 25% are going to stick it out. Amen. So, if we look across this room, probably safe to say, according to the Lord's mathematics, it's probably going to be a quarter of you that end up sticking it out. Amen. And I'm like, man, I hear that. And I remember reading this and being an early Christian, be like, a quarter of us? No way. Not my clique. Not my squad. We're in it for the long haul. These are brothers that I pray with and serve with and seek after the Lord with, and we're going to make it. You know, take some 10, 15 years later, you look down, and what's crazy to me is that 25% ends up being kind of accurate. It's kind of crazy. I think one of the big things we can take away from this, I pray, is that for every single one of us, I pray that we would choose, just resolve in our soul. Lord, help me to be good soil. Lord, help me to be good soil. Lord, help me to be like the soldier who fights the good fight to the end. Help me to be like the athlete who runs this race to the finish. Help me to be the farmer who sees the harvest ultimately come to pass. Because as the good soil shows us in Galatians 5:22, the harvest of the good soil is this. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. This kind of fruit. You ready for it? This is the good soil. This is what is produced out of good soil. This kind of fruit, love. Love, man. Love. I love that. I want to be the kind of soil. I want to be the kind of Christian that just loves people. Just loves people. Just loves. Produces this kind of fruit, joy. Joy. Joyful. What's up with the beach balls in this church, man? It's crazy. What's up with all the jumping and hollering? Joy. Bearing the fruit of joy in our lives. Peace. Peace. When the worries of this life come. Come on, who's had worries come into their life? Who's gotten news that it just shook you to the core? And you've just been like, this was not part of my game plan. Wasn't planning for this. I don't know what to do. Come on, when you seek to be the good soil, you know what the seed of the gospel is going to produce in you? A peace that surpasses all understanding. That peace is going to be ushered into your heart this week. Patience, my God. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Not feeling like you've got to maximize every second of your life, but that you might know what it is to have patience, that you might know how to have margins, amen, that you might know what it is to have rest. Just be patient with it. Kindness, oh my gosh. You're just supposed to be nice. It's a Christian witness. Are you kind? It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Goodness, not malicious. Not destructive, not backbiting, not gossipy. There's just goodness in you. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Taking what God has given you, being good steward of it. Not easily wavered, not easily called out, but no. You're faithful through and through. Gentleness. Shoot, I love that one. Gentleness. That's a good old-fashioned Christian virtue. Just gentle. Everybody's trying to be a prophet out here. Truth and grace, yes. Some people think their grace is telling the truth. Some people love to tell the truth. No, we're called to tell the truth in grace. Are you gentle? And lastly, produces this kind of fruit, self. Control. Self-control. Self-control with the things of our flesh. When anger rises up, are we the people who are quick to cut off? Are we the people that are quick to respond in anger? Are we the people who are quick to comment? Are we the people who just, not everything needs to be said? And the more we bear the fruits of the Spirit, the more it changes our life around us, and the more it changes people who come across us, and the more it impacts the cause of Christ. Because here's the inconvenient truth about it all. people are going to come across you before they ever come across a Bible, before they ever come across a sermon, before they ever read this word, before they might even ever step foot in church. So pray that you'd be the good soil and bear the fruits of the Spirit. If you receive the word this morning, give God some praise. All right, here's what I encourage you to do. Take this word, pray about it this week. All right, pray about it this week.